Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the marriage program on Radio Islam International on this Saturday morning, this slightly cold Saturday morning we thought that the summer was here, the hot days were getting here, everyone packed away their heaters, brought out their fans, and now over this since last night rather, it's been a bit chilly here in Lanesia. Anyway, we hope that everybody keeps warm over the weekend, and then with the changing of this weather, at times we find that people get sick as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us with a good health as well. Coming up in the program this morning, inshallah, we look at one or two of the nikah announcements that have come through. Thereafter, we will be discussing a topic related to marriage. This is the marriage program. And this morning we're looking at money mistakes that can financial issues or disputes and tension about money. Is it one of the biggest things that couples fight about in a marriage? So you can let me know your thoughts on 0727861548. That is our WhatsApp number, or you can even SMS us on 48855. So we'll be looking at a bit about that up until 10:30. Then we have our short segment, 100 ways to feel loved or to show love to your spouse. And in the second segment of the program, we will be joined by Muallima Abida Peer. Now we know that Muallima has been a frequent guest on the marriage program throughout the year. And this morning she will be discussing, a very important issue, and one that was, brought up in one of our previous programs, where a listener had sent in a message and said that, how do you get your life back to your spouse, after they had committed some injustice. So we didn't have, the message had come through, towards the end of the program, and we didn't have much time to touch on that. So we'll be looking at that how does a person, let go of the past and learn to forgive? And is it possible that, love for your partner can die in a situation like that? And thereafter, can it be revived? Can you bring that love back into your heart? So we'll be discussing that with Muallima Abida Peer after 10:30. The nikahs for this morning, we begin with the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A'linu nikaha waj'aluhu fil masajid. Announce the nikah and perform them in the masjid. For a list of the first night sunnats, email hbobat@radioislam.co.za. That is hbobat@radioislam.co.za. The nikah of Firoz Ibrahim, the son of Shah and Hanifa of Rabicham, to Zakia Wadi, the daughter of the late Hashim Wadi and Farida Haturani of Mayfair. This nikah taking place on the 28th of October after Maghrib Salah. The venue is paid to Noor Masjid. That is the nikah of Firoz Ibrahim to Zakia Wadi. Nikah taking place after Maghrib Salah. The venue is paid to Noor Masjid. The nikah of Imran, the son of Bai and Sarah Muhammad of Newcastle, to Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad and Hawa Kaji of Evander. This nikah taking place on Saturday, that is today, the 28th of October, after Asr Salah. I think the venue is the Darul Ulum Masjid. That is the nikah of Imran to Fatima. This nikah taking place on the 28th of October. That is later today after Asr Salah. The Asr would be at 4:45 p.m. The venue is the Darul Ulum Masjid. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah fill their marriages with happiness, with barakah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a pious offspring. We take a short break. When we come back, we continue with the discussion on marriage. 17 minutes past the hour of 10 on the marriage program on Radio Islam International. And this morning, we said we are speaking about, finances and money, that can dispute, tension about money. Is it one of, the biggest arguments or the biggest marriage killers of all time, and money represents, much more than just rands and cents. You know, it can either be used in the right way, it can be abused as well, it can be used to express love as well, and can be used to withhold love. And to respect or to honor someone as well, to punish or control as well. And, you know, that is why, you know, money and marriage, you know, can be a dreaded combination which often results in many painful money-marriage problems. But, you know, we need to think about how we spend our money. As a couple, there should be some, you know, thinking that goes into it. There should be some planning that goes into it as well. There should be choices that you should discuss, make sure or consult with one another, and so that these mistakes can be avoided. And that is a fact that, you know, money can be a blessing in that marriage, and that is what it is supposed to be, rather than it being abused or used in the wrong way, or, you know, or spending beyond a person's means. And then is that is when it then comes to being a problem in the marriage. So we're just going to discuss, you know, some mistakes that we should try to avoid in a marriage. And, you know, that will maybe help us, that could assist us in using our finances in a better way. And the first one that when we look, and I found this article on the net, and one of the first things they said is, you know, avoid disastrous debt. That from the very beginning, you know, this can, when a person is in serious debt, this can, you know, slowly strangle and drain the strength out of any marriage. And it all comes down to the way the marriage starts. You know, if you start the marriage with a huge debt, and this can be done, you know, either by having that very expensive wedding or the very expensive honeymoon, also with regards to setting up your new home, and a person goes way into debt, this can, you know, this can now add unnecessary problems in the marriage. And everyone maybe wants that, you know, sometimes people think, you know, I have to have that fairy tale wedding, a day to remember, or I got to go for honeymoon to this place, and, you know, we got to have a good time there. All of this, yeah, but you need to consider this. You know, live according to your means. And from the very beginning, when a person is fixed and a person wants to get married, the walima, if you are taking your wife to a certain place for a few days and all of this, yeah, it should be done within your means. You should rather, you know, settle for that less expensive wedding within your means in order to save yourself, you know, the prolonged future agony of paying off their debts for many years to come. So it all starts off with living within your means, you know, doing what you can and what you are financially capable of doing, rather than going into debt and spending huge sums of money on that walima, or huge sums of money on that wedding, or that few days. And then a person, for the next 3 or 4 years, this person is stressed, this person is worried as to how he can now pay off that debt. So it all starts from the very beginning. And we spoke a lot about this last week, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that the barakah is in that walima, the barakah is in that marriage in which there are the least expenses. So if you are giving an event, if you are throwing a walima or giving a walima to the people, then let it be within your means. Another mistake, you know, that that has been mentioned and that we need to look at as well is, you know, avoid arguing. That this can wear, you know, the couple down, constant bickering, arguing about finances. And this, you know, it seldom accomplishes anything constructive. It's better to stop yourself in your tracks, you know, nip arguing in the bud, and find some positive solutions to the money problems. Agree on a strategy or work out that you can implement together as husband and wife, and agree also to talk to things about things sensibly, you know, without arguing, without blaming, without complaining. And the blame game also comes in here quite a bit, that you spend a lot of money on that. Why do you spend money on this? Why did you have to buy that item? Why did you have to buy that that piece of clothing from that store. All of this year, you know, rather sit together, make mashwara, know how much money you are going to spend for the week, or how much money you are going to spend for the month. So this helps in avoiding such arguments and avoiding that blame game. And also another thing that we should keep in mind is the power plays. That you'll find that in some or many relationships, the one is the breadwinner and the other stays at home, taking care of the kids. And this shouldn't occur in a marriage where the one that is earning the salary, feels that he's the only or she's the only one working, and the other is just sitting at home and spending the money. So it shouldn't be like this. That there should be constructive discussion that how we're going to use the money, where we're going to spend it, what is really a necessity that we in the house, or what is a necessity that in this marriage that we need to buy and that we need in order to live our life, and what is it that we can shy away from, and what is it that we don't really need to buy. And when we work together as a couple, when we discuss this, that I am going to, or this is how much we are earning, this is how much monthly income, and this is what we should be spending our money on, and avoid anything that is beyond our means, and avoid buying things that is going to lead us into a debt or lead us into a problem. And these are just, some of the common mistakes that we should avoid. And you'll find that, there are two different types of people when it comes to money, when it comes to dealing or handling of money. Some are savers. Some people, every month, they know that a certain amount I need to save, or, they'll think twice about buying an item. They'll look for the cheaper option. They'll be the ones that will be, looking through all the specials. Okay, we're going to buy this item from this supermarket, and then we can go to that supermarket and buy this item. It's 10 or 15 rand cheaper. They got a sale on that item. So these are those that are, savers, and that really want to save money at every instant. And then you get people who are spenders, that they don't worry about the 5 or 10 rand. They just, let's just get it, we need it, buy it, it's fine. Or when they have money, they want to use the money, they want to enjoy the money, if you could say it like that. When two people get married, you can get shocked, you can be surprised to discover how your spouse views and handles money. Especially if it is quite different from the way you do, that you might have been a saver, you got married, your husband or your wife is a spender. So it could be very different to how you use money. And you always thought that, my way is the right way, that this has been working for me. And now you see someone coming and doing the exact opposite. And this can cause a lot of misunderstanding, can cause a lot of conflicts. But being aware of it, also talking through this, the differences can go a long way to avoiding this mistake. So when it comes to this as well, making that mashwara, consulting with one another, speaking about it, this can go a long way in helping and avoiding these mistakes. And I think one of the important things when it comes to handling money, and I'm sure many people who are financial advisors or many people that deal with these sort of situations, they will tell you that you have to have a budget. Whether you're running, just your household expenses, or whether it's just you and your husband, or whether you're running a big company as well, they will tell you have to have a budget. That you got to know where you're going to spend your money, and understanding that how much of money you are going to spend in certain cases. So this is one of the best ways, to handle your finances. It's surprising, how few couples actually do this. So do yourself, a favor, and take the time and effort to sit down and put together a budget. This is how much. And once you see exactly what income you have, what your expenses are, then you can decide how to allocate those funds that you have. And when you avoid the mistake of not making a budget, you will find, you know, to discover certain freedom, or, you know, you'll find that you are using the money in different ways, or in ways that you shouldn't be using it. Yes, sometimes, you know, there are circumstances, or there are some difficulties that come through, and a person has to use the money. That we cannot plan for, but what is in our control we can plan for, and what we are capable of doing, that we should always strive to do it. And another thing that leads to a lot of arguments, that leads to you know, unnecessary fights and disagreements, is, you know, that eagle eye on each other. That accountability is good. That okay, this money was spent there, that money was spent there, but you need to avoid, you know, that mistake of checking up on every little thing your spouse buys, or every cent that he or she spends. You know, and this sometimes gives that feeling of mistrust. You know, that, oh, they don't trust me enough, that is why I have to give full accountability for every cent that I spend. Oh, I gave you 20 rand, okay, the milk was 10 rand, what did you do with the other 10 rand? All of this should be avoided. Yes, accountability is good when it comes to large sums, but here and there it shouldn't be. You should have the trust after making the discussions, after having that mashwara. There should be that trust that, you know what, my husband or my wife will spend that money in the correct way. We have discussed it. I don't have to keep on checking or keeping that eagle eye on her in order to, you know, to because it gives that feeling of mistrust. It gives that feeling that, oh, now I'm the one that is, you know, using all the money. I'm the one that is that is abusing our finances. So it's all about, you know, the communication as well. It all comes down to communication. We speak about this a lot, that in every decision that as a couple that you make, there has to be that mashwara, there has to be that, you know, consulting and speaking with one another. And when it comes to finances, it is the same. That if you are going through a rough patch, if you are going through a rough period, then, you know, to explain to them and say to them that, you know, this is now the budget that we have for this month, and we're going to work on this so that we can save a bit of money, that we can, you know, come out at the end of the month, and we don't have to, you know, worry about bringing unnecessary debt on us. And that is what then leads to further, you know, arguments. And then you have someone who is stressed the whole time, someone who is worried the whole time of how I'm going to pay off that account that I have with that person, or how I'm going to pay off this credit card bill. And the moment a person is now stressed, the moment a person is worried, is unable to share that happiness with the next person, and then it just has an impact on the entire family. So these are some of you know, the things that we should avoid. And you know, number one, avoid any debt if you can. That is the top of the list. You know, don't argue too much about it. Understand what type of a person your spouse is. Are they a spender? Are they a saver? And things like this. Yeah. And the most important thing when it comes to it, speaking about it and talking about it. If you have some concerns that, you know what, you are spending too much money on this item, or you're spending too much money on your fishing rods or on your fishing tackle, then it should be discussed that, you know what, we need to rather use these funds in a more better way. 10:30 on the marriage program here on Radio Islam International. We take a short break. When we come back, inshallah, we will be joined by Muallima Abida Peer. 25 minutes to the hour of 11 here on the marriage program. We are joined on the line by Muallima Abida Peer. Muallima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And once again, jazakumullahu khairan for joining us on the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And jazakallah mulana for having me. It's my pleasure, alhamdulillah.
Muallima, when we had spoken to you, you know, I think it was two or three weeks back, and towards the end of the program, you know, there was a question that had come in by one of the listeners on WhatsApp, you know, speaking about, you know, getting their life back together and getting the relationship back together. you know, after the spouse had committed some injustice. So at that time, we didn't have, you know, to fulfill or fully discuss, you know, this issue. So we can continue with it this morning. And remember to the listeners, if you'd like to interact with us, the WhatsApp number 0727861548. You can send through your thoughts, send through any questions that you have, and we will share it with Muallima. Muallima, when it comes to a situation like this, where one of the two in the relationship has committed some sort of injustice at whatever level it might be, the thing that usually happens is that the trust that had been built over that period of time, that had been built for a number of months or a number of years, that trust is broken, and thereafter it becomes very difficult to rebuild that trust. To be able to now get that trust back, they say it's like a piece of glass, or it's like a piece of a mirror, that once it's broken, it's very difficult to restore it to its original way. But is there, when we look at this topic, is there a way that a person can move forward, that a person can forget about the past, and how does one let go of it after going through such an ordeal?
It's a very complex situation. It's also a very common situation. And unfortunately, there are many of our sisters and our brothers out there find themselves in this situation. And it's almost as if they are trapped. They are trapped, in an emotional state of hurt and anger, and also trapped in living in the past. And these are the things that hold one back from moving forward and progressing. And so, yes, while it's very important for us to validate the feelings and to understand how extremely hurtful and painful it is, for any situation, whether it is a male or a female, whether it's the wife or the husband, who has been, if we can say, the victim, of an injustice, it's something that is extremely painful. And the spouse might say, "I'm sorry." They might say, "Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I've made a mistake." And it's very easy to say, "Okay, I make you mark, or I forgive you." But the hurt and the pain is still there. And what is very important is for the person, asking for forgiveness, to validate the feelings of the person. Because sometimes it's like they've hurt you, and they can just come and say, "I'm sorry," and make me mark, and it's over and forgiven and forgotten. And they think they can just, we cannot just carry on with life as normal, and things will just progress the way it used to be. But they don't take into account the hurt factor, the pain that the person goes through. And until and unless they can validate that feeling, that instead of just saying, "I'm sorry," is to say, "I'm sorry that I've hurt you. I'm sorry that I've caused you so much pain. I'm sorry that I've put you through a situation like that." Because that gives the person some comfort to know that the person understands what I'm going through. Because in many situations, what happens is that you might have a situation where the husband has done something, or the wife for that matter, and they say, "Make me mark." And the person says, "Okay, I can forgive you." And then they think everything is just going to carry on like normal. But that doesn't happen, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us human beings. We have feelings and we have emotions. And what happens is that these things, even though we want to get over and we want to forget it, but the human nature and the human mind and the subconscious mind, the fact is that there's always reminders. There are always things that come back to remind us of what happened. And every time we're reminded, the same hurt and anger and pain comes up again. And therefore, when situations like this arises, it's that, again, the husband and wife to sit down together for them to validate the feelings of the other person, understand the pain and the hurt that person has gone through, and to help them through. Now, again, it's a question of how committed a couple is to their relationship. Because, these sometimes things happen that totally destroys the relationship. And so people hold on, the relationship, the marriage doesn't break down as such. But the couple stays together, but they stay in a situation of a relationship of negativity, where that hurt, that pain, all of those things are there between them, you know, all the resentment and sometimes even hatred, but they continue to live together. And but they that's not a conducive environment to be in. So it's very important for a couple to sit down and say, okay, this has happened. And we still want to be together. We still want to, if the person has that has been the perpetrator, we can say, and that person truly and sincerely regrets, and they've made their fear sober to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the other person to accept it and to acknowledge what has happened. Again, what happened here is that we keep asking the question, why? Why did this happen? How could he or she do this to me? Why did this have to happen to me? And the more we ask the question why, the more we're not going to get the answers. So what we have to do is to accept the fact that this has happened in our lives. And again, we have to take it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, it's about our relationship with Allah. That Allah, you have put me through this. You know, you know what is happening in my life. You know, Allah has brought me to this point of pain and hurt. And something that is very important for us to remember always is that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a merciful Allah. And it doesn't behove Allah to make our lives miserable. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through situations. Look, we are always tested. And everything in our life is a test. Our spouse is a test for us. Our children is a test for us. And so when something like this happens that causes us immense pain and hurt, we have to understand that this is also just from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that point, what we have to do, and our only source really of strength comes and will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our connection and our relationship with Him. So again, to understand that, yes, you know, there is a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say that, you know, basically, the prick of a thorn for a believer is a means of expiation of a minor sin. Now, if we just think about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite mercy, when we get a little bit of prick, a little bit of hurt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove, because of that hurt, He will remove something from us. He will remove a minor sin. Now, what happens particularly with a woman, because women are emotional beings and they really feel very deeply. When a woman is really hurt very deeply, when she's going through tremendous emotional pain, and it feels for her like her heart has been broken into 1,000 pieces. She's been shattered. Her life has been shattered. The world has been shattered. Now we can imagine the kind of pain that she's feeling. But for our sisters to take comfort is that, you know, the world, even my spouse will not know how I'm feeling. Like, you cannot express in words the pain that a woman feels. But who is it that knows the level of that? Only her and the Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of that pain. And so, when a woman is going through that pain, it's not to give up on Allah, it's not to question Allah, but to strengthen the relationship. You know that, if we can call it that mosquito that happens in our life, is something that should actually take us close to Allah. Because that is where our strength will come from. That is where our comfort will come from. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that can give ease and comfort in the heart. And also just realize that whatever pain I'm going through, my Allah knows about it. And He is going to reward me. And this is something that we can take as we take comfort from. Say that we might be going through all of this pain and the passage, but at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever pain we are going through, He is going to reward us for it. And so, yes, Allah will reward us, and He will raise our status through this pain. My status in the akhirah, inshallah, will be raised. So we have that hope in Allah. And so this is what should give us that comfort, you know, to say that I'm going through this, but it's not for nothing. It's not for nothing because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward me for this. And so with that comfort, you know, to say, okay, now we have to move. I have to move on. I have to move on with my life. This is my situation. This is my husband. And we have to now try and repair what has been broken. And so, and the first point of that, again, like we mentioned previously, is to forgive. Now, what happens is that it's easy to say I forgive, but you know, like you mentioned, these thoughts and things always come back again. But for us to keep on reminding ourselves, and then again, the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep on making dua and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen the heart and to give with, for us that forgiveness, to be able to forgive like Allah is forgiving. We can't forgive like Allah, but Allah, you put some of that forgiveness in my heart that I'm able to forgive myself, and to overlook what you know, whatever has happened, and for us to continue with this relationship. And what is very important is for both parties then to commit to each other, you know, to making this relationship work, to being a support for each other, to understand where the other is coming from, and to say, okay, we want to really make this work, and inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, we can get back to some kind of normality. But like you mentioned, Mulana, you know, the trust, when the trust is broken, it's very difficult to trust again. But then again, you know, remember we are dealing with a human being. And so don't place our trust in another human being. We have to place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because trust, like you say, you know, it takes years. You can build up years and years. You've lived together, you have that trust. And within seconds, that trust can be broken. And so, and then again, to reestablish that trust is extremely difficult. And this is something that people also need to understand. It's not so easy to just say, I made the mark and everything is fine and I can start trusting you again. It's not. It's not in human nature to do that. So it's difficult to understand how difficult it is, but it's something that we can keep on working on. And again, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran about suspicion. Don't be suspicious. And so, again, that is difficult, especially in a situation like this, when a woman finds herself in this situation, or the man, you know, where the spouse has gone overboard and they have done things, it's very difficult not to be suspicious, but to gain, put the faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't go checking their phones, don't go checking up their profiles on Facebook and whatever. You know, rather protect yourself from that and leave it to Allah and put your faith, you know, in and your trust in Allah. And this is really, it's not an easy thing. But it's something that, you know, that we have to really work on. It's not something that it takes one day, 2 days or whatever. It's a whole process that one has to go through, you know, physically, emotionally, even spiritually. And so it's something that we have.
Mualima, are you still there? We seem to have just lost the line there, inshallah. We'll try to get Mualima back to continue with that discussion. 11 minutes to the hour of 11. We take a short break, and hopefully after that we will have Mualima back on the line and continue with this discussion. Okay, we do have Mualima back on the line. Mualima, we were speaking about, you know, this, if there's an injustice that had occurred in the relationship and building up this trust. We do have about 6 or 7 minutes left on the show. Mualima, the one thing is that, you know, when couples go through this situation, when, you know, this happens in a relationship, you'll find that, I'm sure that yourself dealing with, you know, these marital issues, you'll find people saying that, you know what, the love has died, or, you know, that feeling has died. I don't have that feeling towards them or towards my spouse anymore. So is it possible, or how can this love that they had and this that they had be revived after going through this difficult period?
Mulana, you know, if we look at love in the Western sense of it, something drastic that happens within a marriage can destroy that love. But when we look at it from the context of our marital relationship in terms of our deen, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that puts mawadda wa rahma, you know, love and mercy between a couple, between the hearts of a husband and a wife. Now, if we look at it in that context, yes, we are tested in our relationship, and we will always be tested in our relationship in some way or another. Sometimes we are tested in a very extreme way. But that doesn't mean, that it has to be the end of it, of that marriage, provided that, you know, the couple is committed, provided that the person who is the perpetrator has made sincere tawbah, they regret what they have done, and they are committed to working and making the relationship work, for the husband and wife to commit again, to commit to each other, that yes, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of negative feelings and emotions that accompanies all of that. Sometimes, you know, people end up hating each other. But again, subhanAllah, I've seen so many instances where the couple really want to be together, and despite all of the hurdles, despite all the hurt and all of the negative feelings and emotions, when they really and truly commit to making that marriage work, they're there to help and support each other through it, they actually can grow closer. Initially, yes, the feelings are there, the negative feelings are there. But again, it's turning to Allah and it's making that dua and asking Allah, because why are we staying together? If our niyyah is to stay together for the pleasure of Allah, then Allah definitely is going to be the one that is going to turn those negative feelings into positive feelings again. And so, yes, that love, it can actually be, it can die. That can happen. But it can also again be revived. And this is the beauty, you know, subhanAllah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that will put those feelings of love, that mawadda, you know, that affectionate love between the heart of a husband and a wife. But then again, everything is conditional. It's what the couple will put into the relationship. If they are willing to work hard, if they are willing to forgive, if they are willing to commit to the relationship, commit to Allah, they strengthen their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they work together. And yes, that hurt will always be there. And yes, that pain will always be there. But it's something that we deal with. We deal with it on an emotional level. We deal with it on a spiritual level. We take it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we do the best that we can. And now again, it's not a question of when you're committing to each other, you keep on reminding the person, you keep on having fights and insulting and bringing up the past, because that again is counterproductive to any relationship. Is continuously going there and reminding the person, you did this, you did that, you like this, you like that. And so that is what destroys the relationship. So yes, we might have those feelings, but to not bring it up to the person. We can talk about it, we can discuss about it, discuss things. And what is important again is not to go into delving the whys and the hows and why it happened and the details, because sometimes people want to go into the details and it only causes them a lot more pain. And so to, again, you know, yes, we are able to speak about things, but we speak about it in a positive way as to how to move forward with our relationship. Maybe one or both parties have made mistakes in the past. Maybe in some way we're lacking. Maybe there's something lacking within the relationship. So now it gives the couple a chance to go back and really assess the relationship. Because previously, Maulana, you were dealing with, the love languages, for example. The emotional needs of a person. And so it's very important for us, again, this is where communication plays a very important role, is for us to communicate our needs to our spouses. What is it that I need? What is it that I want from you? Not just on a financial level, on a physical level, but on an emotional level, on a spiritual level even. What is it that we require from each other, and how we can best give to each other, so that we help each other, so that we can both be two people in this marriage, be happy and content, and this is what Allah subhanAllah calls that sukoon, having that sukoon within the relationship, being that source of sukoon for each other. And so when the husband and wife, when they can sit down and they can, say, we are committed to making this marriage work again, let us try everything, let us be that source of sukoon to each other, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with our du'as, with our efforts, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can revive and open up that heart again, so that we can have that love again for each other, and we can, it's not that we can forget, because human beings are like that, we don't forget, but we can have things in the past, we don't live in the past, we don't keep dwelling on the past, but we rather take the positive
Yes, that is
the positive.
True.
If we're still together, alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for that. And we ask Allah to strengthen us and help us to make the marriage better and stronger.
Amen.
And so the focus is not on the past, but the focus is on the present and what we can do for each other. And on the future, how we can be together, how we can build a happy home environment. And also, it's about where we will be together in the akhirah.
Yes, that is true. Jazakumullah khairan, Mu'allima, for joining us on the program this morning and sharing with us those advices. We will speak to you in the future as well.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mu'allima Abiras Peer speaking to us that if there is some injustice or some dishonesty that had taken place in a relationship, how to look past it and how to build upon it. And if that love has died and that emotion and that feeling to one another has died, then how to revive it as well. And with that, we come to the end of this edition of the marriage program. I'm sure you've heard over the last few days that there will be a new programming schedule, a new programming lineup. It was launched yesterday morning. If you missed it, you can catch up with it on our Instagram page as well. It will be posted on our Facebook page as well. Speaking about the changes that will be coming to our programming lineup from Monday, inshallah. And one of the changes will be the marriage program. It still will be on a Saturday morning. However, we'll be moving it 1 hour earlier. So inshallah, next week the marriage program will start at 9 a.m. after the early or after the weekend breakfast show. Immediately after that, the marriage program will start at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. inshallah. So until then, from myself, our studio operator, Hafiz Hanzala, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.